from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. Summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down, quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, "You, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
That last line of the Gospel is something that should always get our attention. Children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Jesus is constantly calling us to greater prudence, to be as down to earth and to be as cutthroat, we could say, with the things of the Spirit as the worldly are, to fulfill their threefold concupiscence. It's one of the most confusing parables Jesus gives us, the parable of the dishonest steward. Seems as if the one who gave us the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," is actually praising somebody for breaking it. But he's not doing that at all. I know the veterans here have heard me explain this parable before, so I ask you to bear with it in patience. But it's important for us to know this because lots of other people are confused by this parable as well. The way loans worked in the ancient world is if you borrowed 50, for example, measures of wheat, that needed to be repaid to the master. But the way the commission worked was not to say, take 10% of that and 45 go to the master and 5 go to you. But the way a commission worked in the ancient world is they owed the master 50 and you would just tack on your commission on top of that. You could tack on another 5 so that they'd owe you 55. Tack on another 10. Or if you thought you could get away with it, tack on another 50. You had the ancient loan sharks and measures of wheat and olive oil. And they were nasty. So when this man was calling in those who owed the master 100 measures of olive oil, what he was doing in having him cut it to 50 or cut 100 measures of wheat to 80 was eliminating his commission. What he was doing was saying, faced with the choice between being out on the streets or being kind to someone so that they'll want to return the favor, he was willing to let go of the money in order to save his life. And Jesus, through this parable, commends that type of thinking. God has given us so many talents, on the basis of which we've made profits. But sometimes we make the profits for ourselves. God wants us to use all of these types of things to say, how am I supposed to use the gift of my time? How am I supposed to use the gift of my learning? How am I supposed to use the gift of my heart for something far more than self-gratification, for something more than earthly mammon or earthly security? He wants us to convert everything so that at the end, through deeds of love, those we help may welcome us into eternal homes. Because the only thing we can take with us into the next world are deeds of charity. And every kind deed, every smile, every real act of charity, Jesus takes personally. When I was hungry, you fed me. Whatever we do to the least of our brothers and sisters, we do to him. So how do we use everything that he's given us? What type of real commission are we looking for? Do we try to take advantage of each of the opportunities we have in order truly to love others? Jesus today is saying, if we're not going to do it simply for the best reason of all, because we're filled with his love and we want to love others, he's at least saying in this month of November, do it out of eternal self-interest. Be charitable because I will judge you on charity. And sometimes that's the motivation to get us started, not the motivation with which he wishes us to finish. But it does help. To become a wise child of the light, who uses life to enter more fully into life, is what we ponder throughout November, starting with the Feast of All Saints. Today we have two examples. First example is St. Paul in this concluding section of the letter to the Romans, which we've been praying about for the last 4 weeks. We see how St. Paul was finishing the preaching of the gospel of Christ. It's quite a phrase. I've finished preaching. Not that that was the last word he was ever going to say. But he'd given everything in the proclamation of the faith. He has reasons to boast, he said, not by what he had accomplished, but what Christ has accomplished through me. And what was that? To lead all the nations to obedience by word and deed, signs and wonders, the power of the Spirit of God. God wants to do similar wonders through us. Paul gave God permission. And what an extraordinary inheritance he built up. How many people preceded him in death, rejoiced when he finished the race and crossed the finish line. Likewise today, the church celebrates the feast of St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, one of the great saints of modern times, whose influence is only growing, especially in the prayer of cloistered religious throughout the world. She was one who had to make a choice pretty early in life of how she was going to spend the gift of her existence. She didn't know then that it would be short. She would only have 26 years on this world. But that choice was given to her early. She was a really rambunctious kid. And her mom told her with maternal wisdom and cutting truth, you will either become a saint or you will be a terror. She chose to be a saint. It was hard. Her conversion happened, as she described it, when she was 7, making her first confession. She corresponded to the grace of God so that she knew exactly what the Lord was asking, that he wanted her to give up those childish ways and become a true child of God. She was a great pianist. She had gone to the Dijon Conservatory, a real wunderkind. And she was using it so that people would be able to praise her for her skill. But there was a conversion that she recognized that the talents that God had given was not to glorify herself, but to glorify him. So she started playing in church. She started singing in 2 different choirs. She wanted to become a Carmelite in the Carmel of Dijon, very close to her house. But her mother, the same mother who said, you'll either become a saint or a terror, prevented her from entering until she was 21. But she was finally permitted to enter. And there she suffered from what would take her life eventually, Addison's disease. But she converted every opportunity as a shrewd steward to glorify the Lord. As she was suffering, she said, I was not afraid because I'm going to light, to life and to love. She's going ultimately to Jesus, and she tried to live pervaded by his light, to enest herself in his life, and to become first a grateful recipient and then a sharer of his love. She was perfected in living the gospel, because the gospel is all about love. And her ponderings on the love of God have made it into the catechism. Paragraph 260 is one of her prayers to the Blessed Trinity, but what it means as a Christian to have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come and dwell within us. What a mind-blowing reality that is. But so few of us ponder it at all, not to mention enough. Today on her feast day, we do. Likewise, she was one who had an incredible trust in what God was wanting to do in her. That she recognized that in order to accomplish what God was asking, she just had to say fiat. She didn't have to do everything by her own power. So she teaches us that lesson today too. That as we, like the steward in the gospel, need to make an account of our stewardship. And every November, as we think about death, we think about that account. We recognize that God has given us all the resources, and that to be a child of the light is to go toward light, toward life, and toward love. Through her intercession, may we, like St. Paul, have reason to boast in what God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit accomplish within. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.